I'm Rio Pacino for podtech.net with another Bearing Point podcast. Joining me is Dan Dron, who is a manager in the FS practice, and he's here to talk about commercial equipment leasing. Dan, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much.
Dan, first question for you. What is a lease for those who don't know, and why would somebody lease versus doing a loan?
Well, a lease is simply another form of financing, but depending on the structure, it usually can be accounted for differently. There's several accounting rules and tax validations that have to go into place to really determine if a lease is a true lease or if it needs to be accounted for as a loan. But one of the biggest things that is taken into account is the residual. And a residual is what you pay at the end of the lease. If the residual is considered at the time that you buy the equipment to be cheaper than the fair market value, then it's going to potentially need to be accounted for as a loan rather than a lease because that is considered a bargain purchase option. There are many reasons why a lease is favored as financing over a loan. And some of those that come into play are, one, the monthly payment. Because there is a residual on a lease, then that means inherently that the monthly payment is going to be less. Also, there's usually a lower amount of money that has to be paid to start a lease. You can usually get into the lease for, say, a first payment or maybe a first and last payment, and that's it. So it's maybe only $1,000, $2,000 versus, say, $10,000. Also, at the end of the lease, you, like I said, you have a residual. You have the option to buy the equipment for that residual. You can turn around and refinance on that residual, or you could simply return the asset. And by returning the asset, you are avoiding two things. One, obsolescence. As we know with a computer, usually 3 years after you get it, it's not really up to par. So why keep that computer? Why not go ahead and get another one and be cutting edge? Also, you don't have to be responsible for disposing of the asset. Rather, you return it to the lessor, and then the lessor is responsible for the asset disposition. From an accounting standpoint, a lease can be very advantageous because you don't have to carry it on your balance sheet. It's not an asset. It's not a liability. Rather, it is just an expense line item, just like paying your rent on your building. It's just one expense item per month or whatever that you have to pay. And where this also comes into play is a lot of times when a bank loans you money, they may put covenants into play saying, you have to pay us within X period of time every month. You cannot have liabilities greater than X percent of your equity. Well, if I'm not carrying a lease as an asset or a liability, then I'm not affecting the debt-to-worth ratio, and therefore I am able to get more equipment than I might be able to with a traditional loan. And finally, it comes down to how quick can I get a decision. In this day and age, everybody wants a decision yesterday, and they want it as quickly as possible with a competitive rate. Well, the banks are governed by the FDIC, and as such, they have rules in place where they have to strictly adhere, saying, at X dollars, I need to have financial statements. Well, with many leasing companies, they're getting highly competitive, and they will allow an applicant to come in and apply for a transaction for $100,000 or maybe even more, without the need for financial statements. And what this means is they are able to usually get a decision within the same day or a couple of days rather than waiting a week or a couple of weeks that the typical bank is taking to approve a loan. And then also, after the loan or the lease is started, you do not need to sit there and provide updated financial statements on a regular basis unless maybe you're applying for a new transaction. Whereas typically with a bank, you have to provide quarterly updated financials.
Now, Dan, talk about some of the challenges equipment leasing companies find with their systems.
Well, a lot of the leasing companies have grown from small leasing companies to bigger ones, et cetera, and they made an initial investment in their systems or what they could at the time. But the systems that they are presently running are considered legacy or outdated systems. And in some cases, the front end and the back end systems don't even talk together. And so what that means is maybe the credit department has one system. So the credit department has their own system to process their credit transactions, et cetera. But when it comes to billing and receivables, that is a different system. So everything has to be keyed in twice, which increases the room for error. And it also makes it more difficult to be able to do management reporting, to be able to plan appropriately. Also, you may have some departments, maybe accounting, maybe your remarketing department, et cetera, that have their own systems that they find to keep track of the information that they have. And it's just the systems that are presently in place throughout the organization are not advanced enough to track the information that they need. Or maybe the organization has actually rolled out a very fancy new computer system, but there was not adequate training, or it is too complex to utilize. And so these departments turn to just using a simple access database where they can quickly manage the information that they need. Here again, you have redundant information potentially and room for errors.
Are systems always the right choice for leasing companies?
To be honest with you, no. Technology is a wonderful facilitator, don't get me wrong. But if a company has poor policies, procedures, and controls in place, implementing a new system without changing this underlying structure may not even help. In fact, it could actually hurt the company. So it's very important for a company to do a serious assessment of their present operations and their future needs before they embark on the implementation of a new system. Things that need to be considered are, let's evaluate your present business volume and staffing levels. Let's factor in where you want to be in 3 to 5 years. What additional requirements, for example, product offerings or compliance laws, will be needed in the next 3 to 5 years? What are we doing well today, and what do we need to improve on? What changes can I make today to improve our operational efficiencies? If I implemented these changes, could I do so with the present system, or do we need enhanced new ones? If it's determined that a new system is necessary, then a company needs to clearly identify what this new system needs to be able to do. And then once you've done that, you need to carefully evaluate the product offerings that are out there from the various different leasing software providers. You know, there's going to be some packages that have out-of-box capabilities. Are those going to be enough for you? How about the cost? Is it within a reasonable range for you? How much of the out-of-box capabilities meet your needs? Do you need to do significant customization on top of what is there? Let's look at what capabilities the software has. Can you live with those capabilities by just simply modifying your policies and procedures, to operate more efficiently in the future using the existing functionality? It's very important that you select a system that is going to meet your needs. You don't want to select a system that's too small. You don't want to select a system that's too big. For example, a startup, a smaller leasing company, it might be a good idea to have a hosted or ASP environment. The software vendor would then be responsible for maintaining the hardware and software for the lessor. So you can just focus on doing your daily operations. It's going to be done securely over the Internet, and the cost of entry is very cheap. And it's also the lessor doesn't need to pay for an expensive IT staff to maintain it. In many cases, as the company grows, the vendor will grow with them. At some point, it may be determined that it is better for the lessor to go ahead and buy the vendor's software and house it in-house and maintain it as well, rather than continue to do the ASP, because usually there is a fee per transaction with an ASP. On the other end of the spectrum, there is an ERP option, Oracle, SAP, etc., and ERP stands for Enterprise Resource Planning. And these are just big fancy words to describe a system that is capable of processing all your company's day-to-day business within one highly connected system. There's no more silos. With the proper authority, anything that is needed to be can be attained. Advanced management reporting is available. Complex financial products can be offered. International accounting, multi-GAAP can be done. ERPs offer the greatest flexibility, but they can be expensive and time-consuming to implement if not done correctly. As I indicated before, technology is not an all-in solution, but it can be a wonderful facilitator to increase operational efficiencies. Whether a new system is selected or not, the most important thing is to have great policies and procedures in place. This needs to include compliance checks throughout the process. Additionally, there should be regular audits to make sure things are done correctly. Make sure to document your process flows. Account for how every type of transaction needs to be processed, and take into account any different paths that might need to go down the decision tree, et cetera. Document your exceptions. Training is very important. It's sad to say that a lot of times when a project is running out of time, in order to go live, the one thing that is cut is training, which is a huge mistake because there are impacts down the road. You need to properly train your staff on how to use the system, and you will recognize gains down the road just by taking the time to invest in your employees that way.
How has Bearing Point been instrumental in helping leasing companies?
Bearing Point has been a trusted business advisor for over 110 years. We have over 17,000 employees globally, most of whom have over 10 years of industry experience before even joining us. When we were asked by a client to help, we were able to provide resources who understand their industry inside and out. Also, we are able to leverage our proven methodology and artifacts to jumpstart the project. This increases the likelihood of success within the expected timeline and budget. Oftentimes, we go in and establish a PMO, that's Project Management Office, right off the bat on a new project to ensure that a project plan is in place, the proper governance model is in place to address exceptions, risk, and new and revised exceptions. The PMO basically keeps the project on schedule and running smoothly. Because Bearing Point has done tens of thousands of projects, we are well-versed at advising a client on how they should fix their problems and challenges. We usually come in and do an assessment of how your business is operating. All the questions that I mentioned earlier that you needed to consider will be asked by Bearing Point. When we present our findings, we will also compare your performance presently to industry standards and best-in-breed practices. By leveraging our findings against your goals, we are able to advise you on how to proceed. This may involve helping you to just simply run your operations more effectively without even using technology. Or it may involve a mix of both. It could involve us helping you select a new vendor and maybe even implementing an ERP system, doing custom coding, doing a full-scale business transformation, etc. Bearing Point is a full-service management technology consulting company. We are vendor agnostic, and our number one goal is to get your business operating optimally as quickly as possible economically.
Dan, what's the difference between credit-based lending and asset-based lending?
In credit-based lending, the credit decision is primarily based on the overall credit quality of the applicant. If the equipment makes sense for that type of business to use and their credit quality is there, then the transaction is most likely going to be approved. In asset-based lending, while credit is still important, the value of the asset is taken more into account. And what's really factored in is, can I repossess this asset? Can I remarket the asset without a loss? So it's really important that the asset that is going to be financed maintains its value very well, and usually there's going to be a high residual value on the particular transaction. A leasing company needs to structure differently based on the type of credit decisioning that they make. In credit-based lending, there is usually less delinquencies or defaults. As such, there's a need for a smaller collection department, and there may not be a need to have an asset remarketing department. With asset-based lending, there could be a much higher level of delinquencies or default, and as such, there may need to be a larger collection department, there may need to be a remarketing department, and it's also very important that you value the asset at lease inception correctly. Another thing that will need to be taken into account is, where are the assets that are being returned going to be stored and marketed out of? Are you going to need to have regional sites, et cetera, what have you?
How do you feel about credit scoring models and how should they be used?
In this day and age, because technology has advanced so far, I think every leasing company is probably using a credit scoring model. You know, now you have access to a lot of historical data that is able to quickly be retrieved and to be evaluated to see what trends were there for an industry, what trends were there as far as pay histories, what time of business works best for you, et cetera. And then also these credit models take into account the reporting agencies, the information that's pulled in, and what have you. A credit scoring model is a wonderful facilitator for credit decisioning. In fact, for many smaller transactions, it is imperative that automated credit decisioning can happen without the need for human involvement. Otherwise, it gets just too expensive to process a transaction. But models do have their limits. First, let me say it is critical that the decisions are constantly monitored and the model is tweaked as necessary to stay within a desired approval range and to avoid unexpected delinquencies. It is also very important that you have a good credit manager who fully understands what factors are taken into account in the scoring model and also is very well versed at making sound credit decisions. There are going to be many times that a good transaction will be declined because of an anomaly, or there may be deals that are recommended for approval that clearly should not be because a parameter wasn't accounted for. That is when your credit manager earns their money. By leveraging their experience, you will increase the likelihood of your portfolio performing as expected or better. A credit score should be used only as a tool to facilitate a credit decision. It should never be considered an absolute.
How can the decision process be expedited?
Right now, the hardest transaction to process is a big ticket transaction. By this, I mean a package that is large enough to require financials. Oftentimes, these transactions will need more than one signature. In most organizations, these transactions are still very manual in nature, and as such, a large file needs to be routed throughout the office. This takes a lot of time, and files can be lost. It is very important that an organization digitizes as much of their transactions as possible and has advanced workflow. Bearing Point has a toolkit, which we call ALPS, that is quite robust and can be integrated into any loan origination systems. ALPS covers the needs from when the credit application is submitted through credit decisioning. The application is entered, all key financials are entered and evaluated, ratings from S&P, Dun & Bradstreet, Moody's will be pulled in. Additionally, historical performance information will be pulled in from your accounting system. And then there's going to be recommendations based on business rules that you have in place, et cetera. Now, a loan officer may be able to, based on their credit authority, go ahead and approve this transaction. No matter what, the final credit package that will be put together will be put into a PDF file. This may include the approval from the loan officer or simply a recommendation. And then based on the rules in place, this PDF file will be routed around to the proper authorities to approve. And it's not going to be linear in nature. Rather, all parties could sign off on the same transaction at the same time. And then as soon as the transaction is fully approved, all the proper notifications will go out. On one implementation that Bearing Point did do with ALPS, we actually were able to reduce the approval time on large ticket transactions by 30%. Now, whether a client uses ALPS or not, what is important is to improve your cycle time. So, a few things to keep in mind. Get complete credit applications and financial packages, if necessary, right off the bat. Hold your originators accountable. Utilize your scoring models as much as possible to decision your small ticket cookie-cutter transactions. Make sure you have good workflow. Have the system route transactions based on rules as necessary, rather than counting on someone to open their queue and route a deal if needed. Utilize digitization as much as possible to get rid of manual files. Review the performance of your credit department constantly. Are there bottlenecks? Is there a way for you to improve the processes?
Dan Geron is a manager in the FS practice for Bearing Point. Dan, thanks a lot for joining us on this podcast.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.